This morning, I'm taking a little different approach this morning. First of all, because we are approaching the High Holiday, so I just felt that my message and the scriptures that I'm using this morning will be sort of appropriate for us this morning as we're getting into this special time of the year. Before I start the message, though, let me just say this is because of our timing and our changing of the guard, Kol Mashiach, this is my last Shabbat message that I will be giving as the rabbi at Kol Mashiach. I'll be giving the evening message at Rosh Hashanah, and that will be my final message. And Rabbi Judah will give the morning message then, but this is my last Shabbat message, so I just wanted to let everybody know. So if it wasn't so good, at least this way you'll think, yeah, but it was his last message, let's give him a little grace this morning. We'll feel sorry for the old guy, you know. But this morning I do want to look at a scenario. It happens right before the feasts. It happens right before it was a little bit earlier than maybe it was. We are right now at this time of the year. But I wanted to look at this morning. So if you will, or if you can look on the screen, 1 Kings chapter 12, and we're looking at verse 27 and 28. It said, if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord. It's Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked advice, and he made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And I want to just talk about this just for a minute. I hear somebody whistle when they read that. In this 12th chapter of the 1 Kings, this is what we're reading about. There are 2 kings. And the first king is Rehoboam, and he is Solomon's son, David's grandson. And he is the first ruler of the kingdom of Judah. And then there is another king, another ruler, Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the first ruler of the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. And so the people of Israel from the northern kingdom, they still look to Jerusalem, to the place where they bring their sacrifices at Yom Kippur or during any of the feasts. And so they still look to Jerusalem. Well, the king of the northern kingdom doesn't really like that very much because he knows that they're going to go to Judah, to Jerusalem, to bring the sacrifices. And the 2 kings don't really get along very well. And so Jeroboam says, if I let the people go down to Jerusalem to sacrifice, they may get a liking to the other king, to Rehoboam, when they go down. And if they get a liking to that king, they might come back and kill me. And so, what does he do? He builds 2 golden calves. Have we heard this before? He builds 2 golden calves, and he tells the people, listen, people, don't go way down to Jerusalem. Why don't you just stay here in the northern kingdom and worship here? And I've built these 2 golden calves for you to worship. You don't have to go all the way down there. What? We're thinking, wait a minute. Hasn't he heard the story about the golden calf in Exodus? We know that story. Don't you think he knows that story about the golden calf and what God did? And he wanted to kill all the people. But this king builds two golden calves. So as a matter of fact, he built two religious centers. They served as temples. And he put a calf in each, a golden calf in each. And he wanted them to go to them and to worship the golden calf instead of going down and sacrificing and worshiping the Lord God of Israel in Jerusalem. And as if that wasn't enough, there's more here. Let's go to 1 Kings 12:31. And he made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Yeah. What he did was he appointed all the fake priests, and he made sure that the Levites, who were the priests called by God to be priests, he made sure they were excluded from the new priests that he put into his centers. Crazy? That's what happens sometimes. And so this is what he did. But wait, there's just a little bit more. 1 Kings, let's go to 12, verses 32 and 33. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. And so he did this at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, on the month which he had devised in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. So let's understand, he created a feast on his own. He created a feast on the month before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and wanted the people to go and worship to the golden calves at his feast that he had created. And so the proposal that Jeroboam gave to the people was well received by the people, and this is what I want to talk for a few minutes about this morning. He said, listen, it's too much trouble to go way down there to Jerusalem. Your fathers did that, and they did too much. That was too much for them to schlep all the way down to Jerusalem. Take it easy, people. Take it easy. I've got an easier way for you, and you can just do it in this way. I've got the easier way for you to worship. So why did they receive it? Because it appealed to their desire of convenience. I don't know if they had remembered the instances of the golden calf. I mean, I don't know. I can only assume they knew about it. But it was convenient for them. They saw that there were these center set up that wasn't the holy temple. They saw that there were these new feasts, this new feast that was set up that wasn't the time of God ordained feasts. And yet, they did it, and they received it when he said, take it easy, people. Why? Because it was convenient for them to do it. Look, I know that today, I know that there are people that choose a place to worship. And I've met some of these people out there in the community. How do they choose a place to worship? They choose a place sometimes because it's close to their house. It doesn't matter if God has chosen the place for them. And I will be the first person to tell anyone, go to a place where you believe and you feel and you know that you know that God is calling you to be there. And if he's calling you to be there, that is where you should go. If it doesn't quite work out the first few times you go, you keep going. Maybe you're expecting something there and it's not meeting your expectations. If you know that God called you there, that's where you go. Why do you go? Because God called me there for a purpose and he wanted me to be there. So do people today choose a place because God has called them to go somewhere? No. Do people go to a place because the word is being preached? It's not just messages about good old boys talking about good old boys, but the word is actually preached. People actually read from the scriptures. Messages are actually based on the word of God, but they don't go there. Where they go is, well, that one is convenient for me. It's near my house, so I don't have to travel as far. And we have people here that some of them travel 45 minutes from here. I know that. It would be great if they were closer, and I'm sure they'd rather be closer, but the thing is they believe that they should be here and they're here. But there are people, and I have met a few people that we knew that they used to come here, and I'd say, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. Well, I go to a place that's only 5 minutes from my house. In other words, it's more convenient. So people are doing the same thing today that people did way back then. When we celebrate the Lord's feasts, or even when we celebrate on Shabbat, I know that it can be hard for people. I understand that. The rest of the world and the rest of the body of Messiah are out of sync from us. I understand that. I know that everything out there in the body of Messiah, for the most part, revolves around worship on Sunday. I understand that. I understand when there are things done out there, they're done on Saturdays because they know that a lot of Christians are going to be on church on Sunday, and so they make the functions on Saturday. I understand that. I understand that a lot of sports events for kids are on Saturdays. I understand that. And so it's not easy for us many times to worship on Shabbat, because we're out of sync from the world and most of the body of Messiah. And I understand that our feasts don't really match up with some of the feasts that are out there. And even if they're man-made feasts, the reality is people go to them and they celebrate them. And I understand that because ours, most of the time, every once in a while, some of our holidays will align up at the same time with their holidays, but most of the time they're out of sync, and we're out of sync. I understand that. And so I understand it's not convenient for us many times to do the things that God wants us to do, but let's not fall into that trap of doing things because it's more convenient for us. We have to think about that, and I think we have to think about that all the time. Centuries later, after these events that happened with the northern and southern kingdoms, Yeshua told his disciples that he said he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he had to go to Jerusalem. So let's look at Matthew 16:21 from the Brit Hadashah, from the New Testament. And it says, from that time, Yeshua began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And so what we see in this scenario that was going on there, not only were the disciples sort of bewildered, why in the world are you going down to Jerusalem? Because they're going to kill you. They don't like you there. That's why, you know, we're up where we are. We're out of town. Not only did the disciples realize that, but Peter actually rebuked Yeshua. Let's read Matthew 16, 22, right after this. And then Peter Kepha took Yeshua aside, and he began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." You're going to leave the safety? You're a popular guy here. You're not a popular guy down in Jerusalem because of the priests, the high priest, the leadership. The people love you. The people love you, but the leaderships, they don't like you too much. You're going to go down there? Why don't you stay here? And this is how Yeshua responded. Matthew 16, 23, and we go one more verse. But he turned and said to Kepha, to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Peter really did think, he really honestly thought that he was doing the right thing. It wasn't evil that he, when he took Yeshua aside and rebuked Yeshua, he honestly thought that he was doing the right thing for Yeshua's protection and for his well-being. But the truth is, and I'm not being super spiritual here when I say this, that Satan would have all of us, each and every one of us, do the convenient thing many times, even when it's not the God thing. And so Yeshua called it out and said, he didn't call Peter Satan, but what he was doing was he was addressing Satan, HaSatan, because he knew that this was a lie put into Peter's mind and heart, put there by the enemy. And many times, this is what happens. We know that we should be doing something because God wants us to do it. And yet, then there's sometimes something inside of us says, why should we go through all that? Let's just do the easy stuff. Sometimes people, and I know, I'm hurting today, my joints are sore, I'm moving slow. It would be so much easier for me to stay home. But you know that God wants you to be worshiping with your people, your family, amen, his people. And the best thing is, you're hurting? Come on up in the prayer line. We're going to pray for you. But people, whatever is convenient many times, and sometimes, you know, it's not evil that people are doing that, but it's something that's just in their mind and in their heart. It's the convenience. It's convenience versus discipline. Really, that's what it comes down to. It's rationalizing versus the reality of being a child of God. And many times I can rationalize with the best of you. We can all do it, right? We do that. It's just an inborn thing that we can rationalize, men. We can make up the stories, and we can make up the reasons, and we can do that at the drop of a hat. We can do it. We know how to rationalize, but it's rationalizing versus reality. And when I say the reality, I'm talking about the reality of the kingdom and the reality of having a relationship with the Holy One of Israel and a relationship with the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua. How often do we have that Yarobam experience in our lives? Have you heard a Yarobam speak into your life? Someone else that you know in the community? Maybe a brother or sister in the Lord even. Have you heard them? They've become sort of a modern Yarobam, and they approach you. And then it gets you starting to think about it. Oh, take it easy. What are you doing? Don't make it so hard for yourself. Do what we're doing. Get in sync with us. It's not about getting in sync with us, with the world. It's not even getting in, and the reality is it's not even getting in sync many times with the body of Messiah, because it's getting in sync with what God wants us to do and calls us to do, because that is God's standard that God has set up from the beginning that has gotten out of sync and out of whack because of sometimes what the men of the body and Messiah have done. And so we need to really search our hearts and look at these things. You know, Yeshua said, I will make your yoke easy. He didn't say, and I'm going to make your yoke convenient, people. He says it's going to be easy, but not convenient. There's a difference. And Yeshua said that he would make our burdens light and easy. However, the easy way that we think isn't always the right way. You see, then we're looking at the what is convenient and what is right. And so he didn't tell us, I'm going to make the way convenient for you. But he's going to make it easy. In other words, if we have to do things that aren't convenient, he will make it easier for us. You see, that's what he was saying. And so let's not rationalize by saying to ourselves, if it's the easy way, it must be God's way. You know, sometimes if we feel that God wants us to do something and we try to do it and we fail, or it's hard, we go, it can't be God told us to do this because it's just not working. Well, you know, sometimes God wants you to do things and he wants you to learn how hard it is to do it. He wants you to learn the hard things about it. He wants you to learn from your mistakes. You know, that's what really growing and maturing is about. By learning from your mistakes and correcting yourself so that you can walk better and be more mature as a believer. But sometimes we think if we do it God's way, it's going to be the easy way. And it may be the easy way in a way that is easy in a spiritual way, but it may not be easy in a physical way for us necessarily. So let's not think that if it's God's way, it's always easy, or if it's hard, it isn't God's way. You know, many times, nothing that we do for the Lord, many things are not easy to do. But God calls us to do it. As we go through life, our question should be, is it God's way? It should not be, is it the easy way? The question should be, is it God's way? That's the first thing that we should ask. And if God does make it an easy way for us, and I'm not saying he always makes it a hard way. Sometimes he calls us to do something, and it is easy. And if he does it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He called me to do something, and it wasn't hard to do. It's great. And he does that many times, too. But let's not get into that trap that think it's not that easy, it can't be God's way. And so getting back to 1 Kings here finally, we see this is the results of what happened. So let's look at 1 Kings again, but we're at chapter 14 and we're looking at verse 14 and 16, just to get the idea here. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. God took action on that. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam. He says he will give Israel up because of that. And this is one of the reasons that they became scattered, because of their sins. You know, because even though Jeroboam, the Hebrew, even though he sort of led them on this convenience thing, the people responded to it and said, yes, it is convenient for me, let's do it. So it's not that they could say, but our king led us in that way. It's sort of like, you know, when Eve said, you know, when Adam said, but Eve told me to bite that apple. We are responsible for our actions. So if there's a modern day Jeroboam in your life, don't, without thinking, just follow them. And then maybe one day when you meet the Lord, you say, yeah, but they told me to do that thing. Because it says that God will give Israel up because of the sins of the king, because they chose to follow the king. And I believe that was one of the reasons that the northern kingdom went into exile, because of that. God is going to take care of the false prophets. He's going to take care of the false prophets today. Sometimes it seems like they're out there and they're just living high on the hog and they're doing, I don't know if I can use that term, high on the hog. Well, it's a negative thing, so I guess it's good. All right. But, you know, even though it seems like they've got everything out there, boy, look at it, they got it on easy street and everything. But, you know, God's going to take care of those false prophets out there. He's going to take care of sheep stealers out there that try to steal people from God's ordained ministries, to put them into fake and phony ministries and wacky kind of ministries out there and unscriptural and unbiblical ministries. God's going to take care of that. God's going to take care of all the kings of the world that call people to do things that aren't what God wants us to do. But it's our responsibility to be the people of God and not to fall into that trap and not to be led in that way. So let's use wisdom with these things. It's the wisdom that God gives us. There's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. There are a lot of people out there that have all the book learning in the world. And when it comes to spiritual things, they're idiots. I'm using the extremes here. Just because you have all the book learning, it doesn't mean that you have the wisdom that God's Ruach wants you to have. So let's use the wisdom that God has given us before we do something really quick because it's convenient, the easy way out. Let's be sensitive to the word and let's be sensitive to God's direction in our lives each and every day. In the beginning, I said this is my last Shabbat message. I don't want to leave I don't want to leave on a note that I'm pointing fingers at everybody and rebuking everyone. I don't want to do that. You know, when Moses sang his last song to the nation of Israel, sometimes took it as being a little harsh, but he was doing it because he wanted them to learn something. He wanted them to be able to improve their relationship with God. And so this morning, understand, I'm not giving this message to rebuke people this morning. I'm not giving this message to point fingers this morning. I'm giving this message because I want it to be a message of edification for people and for people to have an opportunity to improve their relationship with God, and to be able to battle what is going on out there in the world today, and even, unfortunately, in the body of Messiah, today. And so let's be, we're all working at this, people. I'm not, certainly I'm not there. I'm not perfect. We work at it. Let's really work at it to be the people of God that God has called us all to be. Amen and amen. Father, I hope that the words that I spoke this morning and the words that I spoke from your word this morning will have great meaning in our hearts and in our, for our lives, and allow us to walk in a way that you want all of us to walk as your children. And we just praise you. We thank you. I thank you, Father, for all the wonderful opportunities that you've given me over the years to speak into people's lives. And when I speak into people's lives, I'm speaking into my life too, Lord. And so it just gives me a wonderful opportunity to tweak and make corrections on the things that I do each and every day. And I just thank you and praise you. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.